Hello,
All right.
hello. Happy Toolbox Tuesday, everybody. Give everybody just a couple minutes to hop on here.
All right.
All right, are we ready to get into it?
Think that looks like everyone. Let's get going.
All right. Toolbox Tuesday, another Toolbox Tuesday. If you have not joined us yet for a Toolbox Tuesday, welcome, welcome.
So let's dive right into it and what we're talking about today. And what we really, how we handle most common situations in our own office and kind of what we call those and how we landed on those. And Jennifer, what was the main reason that we even came up with this in the first place?
Yeah, today we're talking about some of our top 10 patient scenarios. This is our tool for this Tuesday. We, in our practices, every Tuesday is called Toolbox Tuesday. We pull out one of our tools from our toolbox. We have so many resources in place that we have found that most of the time people don't even remember all the resources that they have. So this is a good way for us to make sure that it's fresh for everyone. So today we're talking about some of the top 10 patient scenarios that have come up that our team had questions on how to handle. And these are common situations that come up for anyone. Anyone can relate to these situations coming up in their practices.
Yeah, and I think what we found is that of all the stressful and kind of time-consuming situations that we have when we're in front of a patient, whether it's on the phone or with the patient in the office, it really boiled down to having the same conversation over and over and over again, right? And if we could practice having those conversations, those top 10 situations, and there's really probably only five or eight that are the most common. And obviously there's a lot of other topics that come up with patients, but these ones came up over and over and over and over again. And if we can rehearse and practice and give our team the tools to have those conversations and have those responses really, really well planned out, it really solved a lot of the stress in the day-to-day.
Well, and I mean, let's call it what it is. You know, customer service, especially in this post-COVID world, has become more challenging than ever before. You know, patients just seem to be more aggressive for one reason or the other. They come in guns blazing a lot of the time. And, you know, a lot of the doctors are protected from this, but your front office and our front office is the first line of defense. You know, they're the ones that are getting it when they come in the door. And you know, I don't want to speak for STEM, but I can imagine for most doctors, it's super frustrating if you're in the middle of production and your front office is coming to get you because they have a patient who's out of control that they don't know how to handle that situation or they don't know how to respond to that situation.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with the COVID thing, and I think, you know, we give a lot of excuses to the way things are, the way we're doing things because of COVID. And I think some of it's valid and some of it's not. Some of it's just an excuse. But I think the whole, you know, shift in kind of how customer service happens these days, it's definitely changed. It's definitely changed. And for right, wrong, or indifferent, it's some things are just we're able to give better customer service in some ways and not what people have expected from before the COVID times. And I think there's a lot of frustration that happens with people because of that, because that's not necessarily worse, but it's just different, right? And whether that's not having enough team members in the office, whether that's having more remote staff answering phones, whether that's having more paper and people filling out forms and not conversations or whatever it is, simple as just wearing masks when we're having an exam. It's all different to people. And we need to understand that when we have these conversations, it's not people necessarily wanting to be difficult. It's sometimes they're just kind of getting used to the way things are, which is different than what they're used to for however many years they've been coming to a dental office.
Well, and we found also, you know, on the one hand, we don't want to focus all of our energy on the problem children. You know, we have 100 patients that we see in the course of the week,
Right.
and 95% of them are all happy with our services, but we tend to focus on the five that had a complaint about something. And so this helps streamline some of that process. And we talk about extreme personalities in our emotional intelligence course that we have. As far as some people who are just looking for a reaction, there are some people who walk into the waiting room of an office and they see other people waiting in there, and all of a sudden they have an audience. So they're going to escalate a situation just to see if they can make a scene. And that's just not something that we're going to buy into. We're just not plain and simple as that. So
there's a real easy way to counteract that, though, is just don't make people wait in your waiting room very long, right?
That too. That
you,
too.
You kind of live it. You live it. Well, you know, I think that should be 5 minutes or less, and you kind of get people in and out. But it's absolutely true. And I think a lot of that, and we talk a lot about this with our doctors, we have a really heavy IV sedation component to our practice, but a lot of this frustration and a lot of this out lashing out a little bit with patients comes from fear and comes from fear of the unknown. And I think we need to kind of remember that too. And we talk a lot about that with our doctors that, you know, they're not necessarily trying to be difficult. They're just nervous about what's coming and they don't know what to expect. And it could be as simple as that. And that's their coping mechanism or the way that they handle those situations a lot of times.
Well, I use my dad as an example of this all the time. You know, our team rolls their eyes because I've told this story so many times, but you know, my dad comes in to our office and he's been a patient forever, you know, obviously very comfortable in the office, but he is scared to death of coming into the dental office. He brings an extra shirt with him every single time because he will have sweat through the first shirt that he walked in the door wearing. So when he comes in, he's not warm and fuzzy and rainbows and butterflies and let's have a conversation about the weather. He comes in, he's very short, he's to the point, he wants to get in, get out, and get on with his day and be anywhere but here. Now, if it wasn't my dad, I'm sure that he would fall into the bucket of that patient's a jerk, right? He's rude, he's this, he's that. That our team is exacerbating. And that was part of the reason that we came up with this system also, because our team needs guidance on how they're responding right to these situations. And you know, it's hard. Sometimes a patient will come at you and say XYZ, and the way that you would respond in your air quotes real life is not the way that you professionally can respond in the office. And we had many of those situations where a team member was just getting right down in the gutter with someone. And as much as we can say, rise above and be the better person, sometimes emotions get the best of people. And if they don't have some scripting to fall back on, things can really go off the rails.
100%. And I think we also need to kind of look at all these situations where these patients come out and whether they make a scene or we instigated the scene or we allowed the scene to happen or whatever the situation is. You know, that might be that person's reaction to whatever we did, but we might have given a lot of different patients that same feeling and right, they just bit their tongue throughout right, days and days and days. And so I think we need to kind of look at these situations, not as negatives, but as learning experiences too. And we've always talked about that with our offices is, you know, just because that one patient was very verbal and obvious with the way they thought of your reaction or they thought of this situation or whatever it is, you might have a lot of different patients that have the same reaction, but they just didn't say anything. And whether those patients just turn into someone that just questions the next time a doctor recommends something, whether they're a little more difficult next time on the phone, whether they go the extreme and even write a bad review, or whether they just leave your office. And you just don't know that. And so I think to some degree, the patients that speak up and speak out kind of do us a favor a little bit. And if we can handle those the right way, it's a huge learning experience for us because we're not going to get that feedback from everyone.
Well, and we've gone in all directions with this because we never wanted to be the practices that the customer is always right and that patients can just treat our team like gum under their shoe. And, you know, it's yes, doctor, everything is fine. But then when it comes to the team members, they treat all the rest of us like garbage, right?
Right.
We're
right,
not asking our team members, yes, customer service can be challenging, but we're not asking our team members to take verbal abuse from a patient. You know, if they start to use profanity, make it personal, if they're threatening them. So we've made that very clear that, hey, if we have a patient that's taking it to that level, we will nicely invite them out of practice. However, that turned into all of a sudden, every time a patient was unhappy about something, we needed to transfer that patient out, which was the complete opposite of what we were trying to get to. We thought, you know, if that happens once a year, that was a lot, not every other week. So we had to take a step back and really ask ourselves, were our team members turning every conversation with a patient into a confrontation? That's a line that we use all the time. Sometimes they're building it up even in their mind before a patient comes in the door. They have a balance, so they're going to be upset and they're all worked up before the patient even is in the parking lot because they're assuming it's going to be a confrontation and not just a conversation.
Yeah. And I think that's huge because I think even when we consider and we'll go through a lot of our top 10 situations that we kind of, you know, quote unquote script, and they're not verbatim. We like to have them as mapped out as possible. But a lot of these situations were those instances where people would build them up in their head a little bit as, if this person has a question about the balance, if this person's not happy about not being able to schedule a hygiene appointment when they want, or whatever the situation, that automatically was going to turn into a confrontation. And that's not the case. And I think, you know, we really, the more we can kind of diffuse and give patients the pros or the benefits, or show that we're a professional office and that we have these protocols and parameters for a reason, those situations became really much easier to handle. And we essentially diffused the situation before it even happened, right? Because you don't want to let someone build up any kind of, you know, negative confrontational feelings. Because once they do, it's really hard to reverse it. And I think that's where a lot of this comes from, is not necessarily how to reverse those situations, but how to never even get into those situations, right, in the first place. So, you know, this is a little extreme, but we've seen a lot in our office, and it's mainly the front office that has to deal with a lot of this, because us doctors are in the back doing what we do with the back office. And we generally have a captive audience back there with, you know, that can't speak as much because they're getting dental work done, but.
And you have sharp instruments that help.
And we have sharp instruments. So let's not forget that. And I think we don't get a lot of that confrontation in the back. We get some of it every once in a while, but it's very rare. And we don't get a ton of it in the front either. The issue really comes in when we get these confrontational situations. They are so detrimental to the culture, to the reputation of your practice, to the feeling of how your employees feel supported, how they feel about their own job, how obviously that one patient or whoever's in the room having that confrontation, and God forbid there's any other patients in the waiting room at the same time, that's a terrible situation. And so I think why these topics are discussed so much in our practice is because, even though they're very few and far between, they're catastrophic when they do go down a really bad path. And in general, I mean, what are some of the situations that we've seen? And they're very extreme. I don't want to make it sound like these happen all the time, because these are mostly one-offs, but there are some pretty, pretty bad situations that we've seen that we've had to take some drastic actions to resolve it. But it's been awful. And I think the reason I'm even asking this, and it's a little bit of kind of, hey, this is, you know, exposing what we've seen and really, you know, being transparent. But I think in talking with a lot of dentists and a lot of dentist office, they all see these situations.
Right.
They just don't want to talk about it. Everyone wants to talk about how, you know, every other patients always love them, and all, everyone, you know, gives them rave reviews, and they refer all their friends. And yes, that happens to all of us in our practices a ton. But we also want to talk about those other situations, because those are where our learning happens, right? That's where we get better.
Right. Well, I mean, we've had violence that has been threatened multiple times. Yeah. You know, to be completely honest, on both sides, we've had a patient that's threatened violence to a team member, and a team member who wanted to take her outside and show her who was going to win in that situation. And, you know, those conversations of like, take me through how we got from here to there, because that patient didn't just walk in the door and say, let's go take it outside right now. This is not the bar, right? So we even work through some of those situations. But yeah, I mean, violence, yelling, screaming, you know, saying they're going to wait for us outside, threatening lawsuits. I think that's something that has happened constantly at this point in time, just again, in this world in which we're living in here. And we cannot control what every patient is going to come in, what their attitude is going to be, but we can control our response to it. And making sure that our team sees that, and that they have these protocols to fall back on, because no one wants to walk out the door and, oh, I had a patient threaten me with violence today, right? That's not an environment that anyone feels safe in. Again, nor are we expecting them to do that. And at least in the areas that we're in, you know, we have a small county that we're in. A lot of people know other people. And so if you have someone who is that upset about something, they're also running their mouth to family and friends. Right. And we're trying to control that narrative as well. So.
Yeah. And I mean, those are absolutely the extreme examples, and they've happened a handful of times in our practices. We're not going to sugarcoat it, nor are we going to lie and say those didn't happen. And I have a feeling, like I said before, there's a lot of people that have experienced similar situations, and probably worse in some cases. But the ones that actually we see a little more common, that because of the repetitive nature of them, and because they're a little bit disruptive to the way we operate as an office, are the ones we talk about too. And I think the couple that come to mind right now for me are when someone says, I need to talk to a manager, which is a really, really just that one just really destroys the professionalism and the autonomy that that person in the front has. You know, I think it becomes a little bit of a crutch for that person too. If they're constantly being asked to talk to a manager, then they don't have the tools to handle those situations on their own. And in the patient's eyes, they're not the right person, or they might not be competent enough to handle that. And so anything that person says from there on forward is kind of out the window. They're just not going to pay attention to it. I think that was a really, that one we saw over and over and over again, and for a period of time, and we've definitely solved it. I think it's very few and far between these days. But the other one is one that you absolutely touched on, that I think is almost the more important one, which is the staff interpretation of those situations and how they view their own role and job in our office, right? And that's a culture piece. That's, you know, a recruiting piece. That's just a, you know, having people have a good, you know, professional environment to work in and being, you know, feel like they're supported, feel like they're protected in some ways, right? From the those bad situations. And you know, going home, telling family, telling spouses that, hey, this, that, or the other thing happened at this office today. That's not a reputation we want.
Right. Well, and we also had to realize and kind of take a step back. And I honestly keep track of a lot of the situations that come up throughout the course of the week in our practices, because if there's an issue that comes up, we want to solve that issue and then be able to move on from it and not have the same thing repeat itself over and over again. So when we were first developing this list, it was honestly coming from our team member coming to me that they needed help with XYZ or this happened today. And there absolutely was a theme to all of these situations. And the first objection that we received from our team when we were going through this list was, well, but what about the outlier situation? And all of a sudden, everything becomes an outlier situation. We were talking about this in our first 400 webinar last week, you know, same thing with production. And we say, we're baking the cookies, you know, which cookie are we baking today? We're baking the cookies. There's some common theme that's happening here. First and foremost, it's usually revolving finances, which we'll talk about here in just a minute, but we make situations into outlier situations when they're not. So it was really taking a step back and coming up with our sound offs is what we call them. And that is our scripting for handling all these situations. Anyone that is in a cheer squad or was in a cheer squad at some point in time will understand the sound off term, and it has stuck with our team. So we have one for each of our top 10 patient scenarios. So you can see this is just the first page of our sound off list here. But you know, if a patient has a question regarding a balance, if they want a sooner appointment, they have a scheduling issue, they want to find out what's happening when a doctor's out of the office, asking about payment plans, refusing to pay co-payments at time of service, and on it goes. We're going to touch on a couple today of some of the most popular ones, but this will not be the last time that we touch on this topic for sure, because there's multiple case studies that are associated with each one of these.
Yeah. And I think that point about not even addressing the outlier situations, to be perfectly honest, is so important, because if we can address 75, 80, 90% of the things that happen in our practice, we'll have the brain power and we'll have the space and the tools probably to handle the other 10% too. And if we don't, honestly, who cares? Because those things happen so infrequently that if we just have a professional attitude, if we have the right core values in place and things like that, even if we don't have a script or even if we haven't practiced those outlier situations, we got to believe that most of our team members or our doctors are going to handle those situations properly in the first place, right? And, you know, no matter what office you're in, if you're in an oral surgery office, if you're in another specialist office, definitely an endo office, ortho office, pedo office, even GPs, we don't do a lot of different things in that office, right? You know, and you can't be a master of, you know, have all these different things that you do, and whether it's procedures. And it's the same thing with the front office, right? You know, if you're just doing fillings, crowns, you know, aesthetics, implants, things like that, you're probably not doing a ton of pedo and sedation, things like that, right? And the same thing with the front office. If we can really focus on the core situations that we handle, then we're going to be really set up for success in almost every situation going forward. So yeah, maybe go through some of these situations, Jennifer.
Yeah, and one of the things that I just wanted to mention real quickly, and this was part of the reason, honestly, that we were resistant to come up with scripting is because everyone says it's going to be robotic. Everyone is just answering the same thing over and over again. But I would challenge you to think about it differently. Isn't that what you want, right? If you leave your team members to their own devices, you don't know how your message is going to be delivered. And that was the same struggle that we had. We, you know, Sten and I had an idea of the message that we wanted our team to be delivering. And they're not bad people. They have good intentions of delivering that message. But just like we have trigger words when our doctors are doing exams and speaking in patient-friendly terms, we had to calibrate that message because delivered incorrectly or having someone freeze on the spot could just make these situations worse. So we talk all the time about making the things that should be automatic easy for everyone so that they don't have to think about what their response is to XYZ situation.
Absolutely. And I think it's the same way if you have a brand new dental assistant that maybe they have been a dental assistant for years, maybe for decades. And if you ask them on their first day or first week to go set up a crown setup, they have no idea how you set up that crown, but they know how they've done it in the past time and time again, or how they want to do it. It's not going to be the same. It might be fine. It might not. Right. And I think if we give people a framework, they can put that in their own words, or they can kind of put their own finishing touches on it. And so we're not asking our team to be robots by any stretch of the imagination, but if they have one or two verbatim lines to fall back on in a situation, it can take a lot of that stress away from those situations and really give them the power to continue that conversation in an amicable way, you know, kind of going forward. So
first one that comes up is a patient walks in the door and they have a question about a balance, right? And they're a hot moment, right? That's 90% of the confrontational interactions that we have with patients. Again, I'm using air quotes, are because of a balance. Right? And let's just call it what it is. People get upset when it comes to finances. They already don't want to be here. And now we're telling them that they have to pay for it. Right. So the response in our offices is we will research your balance and get back to you within 48 business hours. And that is what we say 100% of the time. Since COVID, we only see patients in our offices who have scheduled appointments, and we've kept it that way for a patient flow standpoint to eliminate, you know, what Sten was mentioning at the beginning of the call, having a bunch of people in the waiting room unnecessarily. And it's worked out really well. So we happily schedule consultations for patients. We do phone consultations for patients if they have questions. But if someone has boots on the ground in our offices, they need to have a scheduled appointment. And that also allows us to keep our focus on our patients who do have those scheduled appointments, and we're not being distracted by other things. The challenge in this situation is pushing back on patients, right? And it was a mindset shift for us to feel empowered to actually tell a patient, it's not no, but it's not right now. Just because a patient walks in the door and is demanding something does not mean that your team has to stop everything that they're doing. And that's how we've coached our team. And that gives them so much freedom to not have to be scrambling in that moment. If someone has a question about a balance, usually it requires a little bit of research. There might be multiple family members involved. We want to make sure we have all of our facts together so that we can have as productive of a conversation with that patient as possible, and to let them have a chance to let those emotions settle. When someone's coming in hot, that's not going to be resolved very quickly. So that buys us a little bit of time. We're making sure that we hear what their concerns are, and then we are preventing a scene from escalating in front of the patients that are in our office.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And on the, you know, patients in the office who have an appointment, I think that's a really important thing. And we're definitely have plans to touch on this a lot more in future webinars and even courses that we're planning. But right now, about a third of our team is remote. If not more. And we've done that by design on purpose. And the big reason is we want our team members who are in our offices to be 100% focused on the patients that are in the office, period. So if someone's emailing and someone's calling, those can all be situations that by all means our front office handles when they have time, but we have remote support for them to handle that all the time. Because we want, if someone's coming in, like Jennifer said, hot about something, we want them to be able to focus on that response right there and not be worried about the 15 calls they need to make back, or three people on hold, or 15 emails that they need to get back about this, that, the other thing. And so that's a big reason. But I think this topic alone and this strategy probably solve way more than half of our confrontational situations right off the bat, right? And I've never worked in the front office. You don't want me to work in the front office. I'd be one of the worst front office.
Our doctors are not allowed to cross the threshold between back and front.
It doesn't matter who you are, whether you've been in the industry 30 years, worked in however many top level practices, things like that. When someone comes in with a balance question or a billing question, you never have a quick answer for that.
No.
Never. And so why try? Right. Anything you do to respond to that is not going to be 100% accurate. It's not going to be rehearsed. You're not going to have all the facts. So you might slip up and say something that either the patient knows is not right, or that just isn't right, that they find out afterwards, or that you have to go back and clarify something, or say that you made a mistake or something like that. So why even try? And I think that's a huge point, that yes, we will answer your question. And we're not saying that we won't answer your question, but let me have some time to research this, because I want to give you an accurate answer. And this could take me 20, 48 hours. Now, we almost never respond to the patient in 48 hours. Usually it's that same day, but we want to under promise and over deliver. And so just by the nature of that, if we tell the patient 48 hours and we call them back that afternoon, we're already one step ahead. And I think that's a huge thing. And it also gives us a little bit of time if we do need to call an insurance company, call a credit card company, whatever it is, and verify something. That gives us a little bit of time to get a response.
Well, and I mean, we also have to, and we talk about these situations with case studies, we have to sympathize with where a patient is coming from in some of these scenarios. I mean, we've all been there to going to a medical office, or if you're in the hospital and you're trying to understand your bill after a hospital stay, Lord help you, right? You call the billing department and you're playing phone tag for the next 3 weeks and never can talk to someone who can help you. So sometimes we have to prove it to our patients that's not us, that's not what we're about, and we are here to help them. But yes, and what Stem was saying about, you know, that situation is not going to be resolved quickly. Part of our fear in implementing something like this was we were assuming these patients are coming in to pay their balance, right? And we talk about AR all the time and making sure that our AR stays under control. So of course we're going to stop everything to help that patient because they're going to pay their balance. Those patients are not coming in to pay their balance. That was something that we learned very quickly in this process. You know, if a patient is paying their balance and has a question, those patients just make their payments online and then shoot us an email and say, hey, could you give me a breakdown when you have a minute about the balance? Those are not the people that are coming in hot to fight. Those are the people that are just assuming you're going to write off their balance because they're going to create a stick.
Right, right. Yeah, and I really do believe, I think the communication, and this is a huge core value, huge topic of conversation in our office, but the cadence and the promise to your patients about when you will respond to certain questions in certain ways they reach out is huge. If they have an idea about how and when they'll responded to, it solves a lot of the issues, right? And right off the bat, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Jennifer, but we have 48 hours on all billing questions, right?
Yes.
24 hours on all emails or texts.
Right.
And 24 hours on emails and 24 hours on calls, correct? And we do that for a little bit of a reason. And meaning that if you want to respond by text or email, we want to make sure that we get back to you at lightning speed, right? Because that's the easiest way that we can communicate as an office, because we're not waiting to get someone on the phone. We're not waiting for, you know, to catch someone at the right time during their lunch break, during their break at work, or while they're picking up kids, whatever it is. We can kind of have a little bit of an asynchronous communication, which is much more efficient any other time. And so usually with these billing responses, we're usually emailing the response back to these patients so that, one, we have a track record; two, it's outlined very, very clearly, and there's no loss of communication by what we speak or leave on a message or anything like that. But and then, you know, so the patient can read it two or three times and have a really good understanding. If they need to make a follow-up call or email, they can from there.
Our emails are templated. I mean, people are busy and, you know, we get it. You know, so our emails are templated with a very easy to understand breakdown of where a balance is coming from, so that it's also a checklist for us that we're not missing anything along the way. But yeah, the phone tag situation just didn't work for us. We had so many situations where a patient, we would call them and I'm at work, you know, and they're frustrated with us. I don't know that you're at work. You know, I had a patient who called to make a payment.
Yeah,
we're working.
This is what we do. We call you. Yeah. This is our job. Yes, yes.
I had a patient that wanted to make a payment on their account. Like, you know, we can pay online, so we have other options, but he wanted to pay over the phone. Fine. So he told me to call him back at 1 o'clock to take his payment over the phone. Okay, great. I was helping a patient. I called him back at 1:04. So I got him on the phone and he said, I told you to call me at 1 o'clock, and hung up on me because it was at 1:04 instead of 1 o'clock. So he said, you know what? Just send me over the payment link and then we can all right. Move on with our day.
Yeah. Let's not go down that road with them. Yeah. You want to pay yourself, here it is. Exactly. Yeah. So.
All right. Number two that comes up are scheduling issues. And this one was a big one for us with having our doctors involved in a situation, because a patient would want an appointment on a specific date, a specific time with a specific doctor that may or may not be available on our schedule. So what that turned into was our front office running to the back, asking doctor, can you change your schedule? Can you move this patient around? Can you start early? Can you work through lunch? Can you stay late? All of these special accommodations. And again, our doctors were coming from a good place of wanting to help the patient. Our main goal is production and to get patients on the production schedule. But we have office hours just like everyone else under the sun. So our response for that is, let's get you scheduled for our next availability that works in your schedule, and we will keep you on our active call list for sooner availability. So when we are scheduling our patients, we give them two options of available appointments. You know, we ask if there are certain days or times that they prefer, morning, afternoon, that kind of thing. And then we give them two options. We have found that patients often have analysis paralysis when they come in. They're being hit with a lot of information. Maybe they didn't expect to need treatment. Now we're telling them they need treatment and there's a copay, and now they have to make a decision about scheduling. People as a whole are indecisive. So if we can keep them focused on a couple of different options, that's a lot easier for them to choose between instead of having every option available under the sun. The reality is that no matter what you do, you can turn yourself inside out trying to accommodate patients and you will never make them all happy. And I use the analogy all the time about the hair salon. Ladies, I think you can all relate to this, right? You call to make an appointment at your hair salon. They give you a single option. And if you cancel that appointment, you're going to be waiting for 6 months and have roots that are showing because they don't have any flexibility on the schedule. So you hold on to that appointment because you don't want to have to move it with someone else. We have to have a little bit of the same backbone. And this was a challenge. This was definitely a challenge for us. Our doctors are busy also. We have lots of options on our schedule. We have a day that we have later afternoon appointments. We start early in the morning before patients start work a lot of times. We have lunch options. We have Friday options. We're never going to be able to accommodate the patient that wants 9 o'clock in the evening on Sunday. That's just not going to happen. So these are the couple of options that we have. And we weren't treating every patient, every scheduling situation like an outlier and involving a doctor every time.
Yeah. I'm going to have to take your word for it on the salon analogy. And I've heard you say that a million times, and I assume it's true. I don't know.
Ladies, you know, like, come on in the chat. Come on, help me out here.
But, you know, I think the other thing from my lens too on this is when we try to make a million different accommodations for patients, it not always gives the right optics of your practice. And we learned this the hard way multiple times over. And what I always kind of relate to is if you tell the patient, you know, we can see you anytime, or we have this option, they say, well, I can't do this. And then you give them a whole nother set of options. They start to get the picture that you're not busy enough. And they start to question why, right? Or it can look a little needy, like, oh, does this doctor office, whatever it is, really need me to get in because they need the money, because they need the time, because I'm not busy, whatever it is. And so I think we need to kind of put that in perspective a little bit. And, you know, this is not a new technique to give patients two options, or morning or afternoon, things like that. It's something that's, you know, been in a lot of different, you know, operations, things, not outside, you know, outside of dentistry and then in dentistry. And a lot of people talk about this, but I think from the standpoint of, if you even have a full, an empty schedule, you still give that patient two options, right? You don't show the patient.
Build up or down. Yeah.
You build up or down. And we can go into, you know, different scheduling strategies and block scheduling, all these stuff. And this is nothing new in the industry either. But, you know, from the standpoint of when we start to run to the back, when we start to ask the doctor, like Jennifer said, when you start to get someone on the phone, a manager, get the more people in the front office involved and trying to look at the schedule, they start to realize that it's a very soft situation. And that any soft situation, from my standpoint at least, I start to question what else is soft. Are they not doing the same treatments every single time? Are they not doing the same billings every time? Are they not running the office in a very regimented way? And to me, just personally, and maybe this is not everyone, but as a consumer, I start to question the quality of what I'm getting, right? And that's just the way it goes. And I personally would like to go to a medical office. Personally, I want to go to any office. I want to go to a bakery that just has things dialed in. This is the way they make their croissant every freaking time. You know, I don't want to wonder if I'm going to get this service or next service. And I think this really points to, if you tell the patient, hey, this is when the doctor does crowns, this is when the doctor does this, I have this option available for you, they realize that this doctor, this office has a set way of doing things. And the reason they have a set way of doing things is because it works. And I think when you kind of change the image of why you're doing certain things into, we know what we're doing, this is what works, and this is, you know, we're going to give you the best possible service, but we're not going to sit here and bend over backwards and come in at 7 o'clock at night or shift all these things around just because you asked, right? Because that doesn't give us the right reputation, and it really doesn't serve the patient that much, because that might put that appointment in a time where that doctor or that office is not going to be fully prepared or fully prepped to get that done, right?
Well, and we also found that in those situations when we did try to bend over backwards, it was never appreciated first and foremost. Because a patient really didn't understand all that's involved if you are making a drastic change in that schedule. Number two, they expected that to happen every single time, not that this was just a one-time situation. And then for all of their family members and all of their friends, well, Dr. Erickson is going to come in and see me at 7 o'clock at night, which that in and of itself is, we didn't do that, but that, you know, some of those things sound a little strange when they say your doctor's doing what, but,
right.
You know, or it backfired on us from a scheduling standpoint. You know, this became very prudent when we started doing IV sedation in the practices and patients only wanted to come in the afternoon. For those of you who do IV sedation, you know that these patients have to be MPO. And how many of those patients then did we see that I didn't have breakfast. I only, as soon as they say only, I was just sitting there waiting. I only had a muffin. I only had orange juice. That, my friend, is not fasting, right? They just went about their routine. And then we had cases that had to cancel out. So yeah, you know, that was a situation. We also had issues then with patients constantly moving their appointments around. You know, we literally would have emails where we had sent a patient 5, 6, 7 appointment options. They schedule one and then they cancel it. Well, now I want Tuesday instead. Well, you said you could see me at 3 spots on Wednesday. There wasn't any value that, you know, we're just all waiting around so you can move your appointment around 10 times because I have endless opportunities for you. So that was going against us as well.
Yeah, that's huge. And I think we've all seen it. We definitely have learned the hard way on the hygiene side with this too. And we're going to actually have plans to do a course kind of towards the middle of fall about kind of how to limit the hygiene a little bit, which is not something that we've talked and no one's really talking about a lot. So more on that in the future. But when we have a booked hygiene schedule and someone needs to change their appointment, they don't have a lot of options in the future.
It becomes the hair salon.
They tend to keep that appointment. Whatever they had that was a conflict there, all of a sudden is not as important when they realize they can't just bump it to the next day or the next week, right? And it's like when you have a wide open hygiene schedule, all of a sudden you see a lot more shifting around in that schedule. The patients are moving all over the place because we are open, we're free, and we're flexible, and they're not prioritizing us, right? And we've just seen that.
And why would they? If you have that kind of flexibility, yes.
They can just move it an hour here, an hour there. I can move 4 family members next week. What's the matter? They have all the time in the world. They can accommodate me. And I think, you know, even if we don't have weeks or a day, maybe a few patients fell off or something like that, you still have to give the impression that it is a very rigid, closed schedule. Because otherwise, you're just going to invite so much shifting around that takes team members' time, that takes stress. It's shifting around for the doctors. They're not getting the reimbursement. The hygienists aren't getting their bonuses, things like that. All these different things kind of snowball when we don't have the kind of rigid protocols in place and we don't follow them.
And it gets back to very similar to, you know, with a patient having a billing question. it's not a no, but it might be a not right now. You know, I don't have Tuesday at 4 o'clock. I have Thursday at 3:30. Hey, does that work for you? Maybe you can take an early lunch that day. You know, just looking at different ways. You know, we have this come up with patients all this time. Well, I have lunch at 12 o'clock. Can you come in at 11:30? And, you know, maybe we can make that work on that day, you know, getting a little bit creative with it. So I think, you know, a couple of takeaways from these two topics with the financial questions, really think about how you can incorporate maybe some of these tips with your team and how you want them to respond to it, you know, taking control of your day and what happens with those interactions. And the same thing, taking control of your schedule, always looking at the positive and how you can highlight those things, because that's what we do in our practices. You know, our team is always looking to show patients what the positives are from scheduling options, from our communication. And we put it out there, as Stan mentioned, you know, patients know exactly what to expect. We even have a sheet for it, you know, what to expect, communication with their office, what to expect from our accounting department, so that there aren't any questions from both the patient side and from our team side. They know what their responsibilities are.
And it holds the team member accountable too.
Absolutely.
If we have a sheet that we post online and we give every single new patient that says when they will be responded to, they better do it.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, so, all right.
Well, we know that we are getting to the end of time here and we want to respect everyone's time. We know that a lot of people are here on lunch. Just want to give you a preview for next week. We're going to be talking about some of financial policies and some of the financial policies that we've implemented in our practices and some of the kickback that we received. And one of the biggest questions we are asked is, did you lose patients when you did this? Yeah, we did. We absolutely did. And we're going to talk through that and what our response was, because ultimately we also didn't want to have patients in our practices who were not paying for the treatment that our doctors were providing. So that is a topic for next week. We hope you guys will join us and we'll see you back next Tuesday for the next round of Toolbox Tuesday.
Have a great day, guys. Bye.
All right. Bye.